Would you mind telling me who you are?
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by Rocky Mountain Chevy Dealers on 97.5 1280 The Zone in the Zone Sports Network.
.975 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. There's some times being released for the Pac-12. And I'm trying to find, let's see here. Friday, November 13th, Utah will play UCLA. Oh, you'll love this. That's an 8:30 start time.
A.M.? Wow.
Yeah, you wish.
Yeah.
A 7:30 start time on Friday, December 11th, with Utah playing at Colorado. So we'll get some more of these times, but these are on FS1. Looks like Utah will open up things, or will have the game against UCLA. Will probably, looks like it's going to be on ABC.
No news for Arizona, the opener?
Not that I can see.
Okay.
As of yet. All right, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Joining us now on the T-Mobile special guest line from Athlon Sports, writes in regards to the NFL and college football, Brian Fisher, kind enough to join us. Brian, how are you?
Hey, Brian.
Doing well. Good to be on with you guys.
Yeah, good to catch up with you again. You know, as football starts to make its way out west, with the Mountain West Conference expected to get underway this weekend, you already have one cancellation before the season even starts, and it's Colorado State and New Mexico. And now I guess you're just starting to see the rest of the, you know, the western part of the United States starting to figure out what the other parts of the country have been dealing with for the last 5 or 6 weeks.
Absolutely, and I think it's a tough position for the Mountain West to be in. Obviously, you have travel restrictions as well with New Mexico that are involved in this cancellation. So it was always going to be tough to really pull out, you know, that full slate of games that they were going to do in such a short time span. I think that's why, although the SEC started later than some of the others, they did build in those additional bye weeks. They did at least give them some wiggle room. And while that has quickly run out in other parts of the country, there is, you know, basically none of it for the Pac-12, the Big Ten, and the Mountain West. And so we'll see. I think this is still going to happen. I think this is going to be really kind of a standard thing, I think, each week. You know, it's funny because I write down, you know, kind of my list of games that I want to keep an eye on Saturday. And, you know, I do that the following Sunday. And really throughout the week, it seems like I'm crossing games off every single time. And that's just, you know, a fact of this 2020 college football season and what these teams are dealing with.
We've watched the NFL teams in the state of California go run pretty smoothly. It feels like the operations have gone pretty well since the NFL engaged. What do you expect from the Mountain West Conference universities in California? Do you feel like the state might get involved a little bit there, or do you feel like we could see them go off without a hitch?
I think they're doing what they need to do in terms of, you know, appealing to the local leaders and making sure that everything gets done. You know, obviously it's going to be different than other parts of the country because of, you know, the no fan situation. Certainly the masking, you know, is a lot stricter than other stadiums and whatnot. So I think they're doing what they can to get through things. Certainly the NFL teams have kind of provided that blueprint. Daily testing is a huge thing for all of the California schools, you know, whether it be the Mountain West or in the Pac-12. And so I think that's helped kind of allay some of those fears in terms of moving forward and controlling the outbreak. And, you know, look, you know, really caseloads are up, you know, elsewhere around the country, but, you know, they're ticking a little bit down in California. So that at least gives them a little bit of hope that they can kind of get through things and make sure that they're not contributing to the issues in the local communities.
Really hope to see Georgia give Alabama a game. And, well, it just looks like Alabama and Clemson, it's just rinse and repeat year after year.
Yeah, I wrote that this week. You know, really, there's kind of three things. You know, one of them, you know, certainly being COVID and the precautions everybody's taking with that, and just general college football chaos. But outside of Ohio State, I mean, really the two elite programs of much of the past half decade are really showing why they are the elite programs. And I think everybody at this point, you know, we've seen kind of things get off kilter and change in the past at the midpoint of the season. But, you know, really, you think back the last couple of years, everybody expects that Alabama-Clemson match to happen, and we're right back there again in 2020. And I think that does speak to the consistency that Nick Saban and Dabo Swinney have gotten their programs to, but also how far some of the challengers have to come. You know, I think Ohio State is going to be right there with those other two. But in terms of Georgia, you know, this is kind of where the loss of you know, you think Kirby Smart's got his grad transfer quarterback coming in. He gets another one in JT Daniels, but obviously there's some injury history. He needs that elite playmaker at quarterback. And I think we saw on Saturday, you know, just how far away Georgia is, despite having a very good defense, despite having the roster to kind of compete with those. You still need that elite guy at quarterback to make some plays, you know, when you need them. And the Bulldogs didn't have that. Maybe they will, you know, by the time a potential rematch comes in Atlanta. But, you know, once again, there's a reason why Alabama is this juggernaut, and I think we saw that last Saturday.
Brian, when you go through and you evaluate BYU and their performance so far through this season and the teams that they're playing against, how good do you think BYU is?
I think they're a top 10 team, you know, right now, and really room to grow beyond that as well. And you know, I give credit to the coaching staff there that they have not only a tremendous week to week game plan, but I think they've gotten you know, really kind of aimed up towards 2020 and 2021 in terms of how they've built the roster, how they've built the, you know, certainly the offense and defense. I mean, it was great to see some of the creativity in that game last week against Houston. I mean, a little nod to Andy Reid as well on some of those fullback plays as well. So it's you know, really everything coming together at the right time for the Cougars. And you know, I think there's a reason why we've you know, discussed them as a potential New Year's Six team. Yeah, the path to that is a narrow one, but right now they're on it. And you know, give credit to the Cougars for going out there and executing and really not being fazed at whatever is kind of thrown their way. They, you know, struggled against UTSA last week. You know, certainly got down early there against Houston, but you know, they battled back and it's starting to really, you know, look like a team that everybody is taking for real right now.
Let's take it a step further. Should Zach Wilson be part of? Not necessarily. I mean, we all know that they can start engraving Trevor Lawrence's name on that Heisman Trophy right now. But with that said, could Zach Wilson be sitting next to Trevor when he accepts that trophy in New York?
I think so. And it's not just because of the outstanding play that he's had on the field, but I think it also helps really that he's kind of gotten the spotlight to himself, you know, kind of this early part of the season, certainly being one of the few teams in the Mountain Time Zone itself to even be playing, having a Friday night spotlight last week. You know, they're going to be on TV a lot and able to make an impression on voters. And I think the way that he has been playing certainly qualifies him among the top three or four, you know, most outstanding players in the country. And I think if they keep this up, if they maybe make it to that New Year's Six Bowl, I think they've got a real good chance of sending somebody to however the Heisman ceremony is going to happen. We all anticipate that likely being something virtual at this point, but I think he can definitely finish as one of the finalists, and you know, that's credit to how well he's playing right now.
Brian, will you help BYU fans kind of understand how they feed those New Year's Six games? You've got the one guarantee coming from a group of five. Where would BYU's bid, where would a team in independence get a bid from?
Well, right now, they would just basically have to finish high enough in the committee's rankings, you know, to qualify for one of those at-large spots. Certainly, it's different this year because, you know, with the Rose and the Sugar being semifinal games, you know, yes, it guarantees that the Pac-12 is going to have their champion in the mix. You know, the Big 12 is, but they're not locked into those games. So, you know, there's a little bit more flexibility for the committee in terms of who makes it to the Orange Bowl, who makes it to, you know, the Cotton and Peach Bowls. And certainly that they can't qualify for that group of five bid necessarily, but they can finish high enough in the standings. And I think if they go undefeated, I think it would be hard, especially given everything that's happened this season, for the committee to really deny them one of those at-large spots. And you know, given the chaos in the Big 12, certainly it seems I'm skeptical that the Pac-12 could get a second team in there, given the shortened schedule. You know, maybe somebody in the Big 10 looks strong enough to steal a second bid, but It's certainly there for BYU to take. It's a narrow path if they were to lose a game, but if they run the table and go undefeated, if any year kind of shapes up for them to get one of those New Year's Six games, it's going to be this one.
Larry Scott was talking about trying to expand the playoff to eight teams, and I'm kind of surprised that it got thrown back in his face a little bit, because I thought this might be an excuse for everybody to say, oh, this year let's move it to eight and then just kind of keep it at eight and start raking in that money a little early. Why were other conferences hesitant to move to that expanded playoff?
You know, I think part of it was just everybody is dealing with so much right now, you know, in terms of just the day-to-day that ADs having to, you know, sort out with their football teams, with, you know, basketball coming back in a couple months, and all the other sports taking place in the spring. I think everybody just understands, hey, I just got to get through today, and I can't really worry about what an 18 playoff is going to look like, how teams are going to get selected and all that. Certainly there's a financial component in terms of how much more ESPN would be willing to pay in that scenario and breaking into that contract. I just think it was probably a little bit too quick. You know, if this had been broached maybe back in the spring and there had been some real concrete momentum behind it, maybe things would have happened. But I think it's just, you know, it's just too short. You know, when the season is already underway, there's just not the time frame needed to kind of get the ball in motion. And, you know, credit to Larry for at least bringing it up. I think that does help, you know, longer term, you know, in terms of 2021 and beyond, maybe making eight teams more standard. But I think it's just kind of too quick with everything going on in the middle of a pandemic to make these kind of massive changes to the postseason system.
Brian, since things have come back around for the Pac-12 and excuse me, and the Mountain West Conference, have you heard anything from the We Are United front?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because, you know, that has really kind of gone away out west. And I think certainly having football on our televisions and being able to see some of that action is part of that. You know, guys are training. Guys are excited for playing the season. I think it's still going to be there. It's still going to be present. You know, the NCAA has kind of opened up some of the rules in terms of what guys can do. You know, with their uniforms and having messages and all that displayed. So I still think that we're going to get reminded of that throughout the season coming up. But it's more of a thing, a long-term concern for both the players that are part of the movement and I think for those, you know, on the other side of the table in terms of the administrators dealing with things, because things like health concerns, things like, you know, making changes to the way these programs are run and, you know, really giving additional power to the athlete. You know, we're under some seismic changes in terms of the entire NCAA right now. And I think this is going to be something that is going to be at the forefront after the season and really emphasized, I think, by the players going forward after they kind of just get through this 2020 campaign.
Brian Fisher, you can follow him on Twitter at Brian D. Fisher right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. If you were to round out, it's the Brian Fisher College Football Playoff Committee consisting of one. Obviously Alabama, obviously Clemson. Who rounds out your other two?
I'm going to throw Ohio State in there. I think, you know, just, I know we haven't seen them play. We'll get
sight
that first
unseen,
Clemson
huh?
Saturday. Yeah, I think that they are that good. I mean, you know, Ryan Day, with what he's been able to do, he has built an elite program there. And you know, Ohio State over the last couple of years, I mean, they have been, you know, right there with the Alabamas and Clemsons of the world. Have not had a few breaks go their way, but I think they've got an elite quarterback. That I think they've got the right pieces, you know, in terms of the guys up front on defense that they're going to go through and state their case in Big Ten play. I think they're my number three team right now. And I still think that, you know, somebody out of the SEC is going to make it into that fourth spot at this point. You know, whether that's Texas A&M, you know, certainly that game against Alabama looks a lot better. If they can end up running the table, being in the West already means they wouldn't take that second loss in the SEC title game. Maybe it's the Aggies involved in that fourth team mix, and I think they're a team that could still get better as the year goes on. Certainly Georgia is going to be right there. We'll see what they do with their quarterback situation. Maybe they can you kind of split their two meetings with Alabama if that ends up being the case. I just think that the fourth spot definitely is up for grabs. I would put the Aggies in there right now just because I seeing what they did against Alabama, seeing what Georgia did against Alabama, maybe that puts a little better light in terms of what the Aggies did. Certainly an impressive win against Florida at home. So I think it's still too early to determine, but that would probably be my four right now, and we'll kind of go from there as Big Ten play gets underway and we kind of see more from the rest of the 127 teams in action.
Brian, the Pac-12 has been shut out of the four-team college football playoff 4 out of the 6 years of its existence. And it seems like this shortened, this condensed season isn't really putting them in a good position to have a representative. If anybody were a representative, who would it be out of the Pac-12?
You know, I think it's going to have to be certainly an undefeated team. It starts there. If the Pac-12 champion has one loss, I think that almost is disqualifying. You can't play so few games compared to the rest of the competition and not run the table to really make it into the playoff. And these wins have to be convincing. You've got to convince the members of the committee that you are better than that second SEC team that has not only played more, but has the experience, has the roster level, a little bit higher than what's happening out west. And maybe an Oregon or USC can sneak in there. I think certainly the perception of those two programs nationally helps them if they were to run the table, especially USC, just from a brand standpoint. I think I know the committee likes to say that they focus on the here and now, but with the smaller sample size, I think that's at least in the back of the committee members' minds going to come into play here. So, maybe if an undefeated USC could sneak in there, they're going to need some help, though. They're going to need Florida to, maybe take down Georgia and then the Bulldogs still win the SEC East or something like that, to really make sure that they can comfortably sneak in there. And I'm not sure that that's going to happen this year, but crazier things, certainly in 2020, we have seen already. And so maybe that's what the Pac-12 is hoping on, a little bit of chaos, a little bit of fun, and hopefully one of those two kind of brand-name teams can sneak into the mix there.
How, and again, this is just speculating on your part, and I know you write on the NFL as well, but how do you anticipate Tua will make the transition into the NFL?
I saw him certainly at the end of last weekend's game and looked pretty sharp. I was a little surprised at the move, certainly in terms of Ryan Fitzpatrick just playing pretty well for that Dolphins offense. And, the turnovers are a little bit of a concern for him. I think they're going to play it safe, with him. You're not going to see him do some design runs that I think he is able to execute out there. But I think it's going to be fascinating to watch because we've seen the other rookies really kind of just step in there right away. Certainly Joe Burrow in Cincinnati, Justin Herbert in Los Angeles. I mean, they've not only just looked the part of top 10 picks, but looked far beyond what we've typically seen out of rookies. And I think the upside there is certainly for Tua to not only surpass those guys, but to be a quality starting quarterback in the NFL. They've kind of handled him with kid gloves so far. I think the injury played a role into that, but his talent level is super high. I think he still needs some additional weapons there in Miami to really see that realized, but I'm excited to see him. I think he can have a pretty good game to start off with, but when you start to play beyond that and get into a point where teams have tape on him, that's really when we're going to see the true test of Tua and what he can do. When defense coordinators have that book on him, know what he likes to do, know what he doesn't like to do, and kind of exploit that. And I think it's going to be fascinating to watch because we've already seen those fellow top 10 rookies have some success in the NFL. And now it's really the pressure on the Dolphins organization to say, hey, we still got the right guy in Tua.
What have you thought about Joe Burrow's debut with Cincinnati through the first few weeks?
Yeah, I mean, another one where he has certainly looked the part and thrown right into the fire from day one. He's a true leader, I think, of that team. And you see that on the sidelines in the shots of him, getting guys. I think it's just he's in a rough spot because although he does have some skill position talent with guys like Joe Mixon and certainly T. Higgins has come along lately, just the offensive line is just not there. And you see it. He's getting beat up each and every week to the point where I'm not sure he's really going to make it through the entire year upright because he's just getting pummeled Every week, and doing it in the AFC North, no less, because we know how physical those teams and what like to be. Got another big test coming up against Cleveland, but I think looked every bit the part of a number one quarterback right now. And you know, if you're a Cincinnati fan, you're excited about the future, but also a little concerned in the near term because he just does not have the weapons, does not have the offensive line to really do what I think he's capable of. And, you know, you're kind of stuck in no man's land where you're losing. But at the same time, you know that at least a promise of being better than you are can come there down the road, both in terms of the draft, free agency, all that. I think you're impressed with what you've seen so far, but also cognizant of the fact that he can be a lot better once that talent around him gets a lot better as well.
Trevor Lawrence goes number one overall. What's the second quarterback taken in the NFL draft coming up?
I think it's going to be a fascinating debate you know, between Justin Fields and Trey Lance. And I think you know, it's going to be interesting to see who's kind of in that running. Is it going to be more of a traditional organization like the New York Giants? Or are they going to get maybe the second pick? Do they go with more of a dual threat guy like Justin Fields? Or are they just, because of the way they've already drafted with Daniel Jones, do they even want a quarterback? I think it's going to be interesting. Certainly with Washington, I think if you know, they get a pick in the top two or three, Justin Fields becomes a big opportunity for them because that coaching staff has already coached a guy like Cam Newton. I'm not saying the two are super similar, but they understand kind of how to use a quarterback's legs. Maybe that's kind of the choice in Washington, and it seems like they're already ready to move on from Dwayne Haskins based on the way they've been handling him the last couple of weeks. So I think it's going to be a fascinating kind of run towards the draft, not just in terms of how the season is currently playing out in college, but how these NFL teams are going to view such a limited sample size on Trey Lance and then what the kind of ceiling is for a guy like Justin Fields. You know, we'll see how it all shakes out, but really one of the more fascinating subplots to both the NFL and college football season down the stretch here.
Always great to catch up with you. We appreciate your time, and I look forward to talking to you next week.
Thanks, Brian.
Sounds good, guys.
You can follow him on Twitter, at Brian D. Fisher, writer for Athlon for the NFL and college football as well. Really well, you know, some great insight, great analysis as always. He's one of the best.
Man, I liked his take on Zach Wilson. I was surprised that, you know, that he was that bullish about it. And also his take on BYU and how good they are. He said they're a top 10 team right now. Competition aside, he feels like this is a top 10 team. He was bold enough to say he would expect to maybe see them in a New Year's Six if they were undefeated.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of great information there for BYU football fans to kind of understand what the national perspective is on this team.
All right. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. We are live here at Larry H. Miller Used Cars Supermarket.
And we've got a lot of great opportunities for you. None better than the 6 months not making a payment. And we've talked a lot about that. You come in and buy a car from Larry H. Miller Used Cars Supermarket, and they will make your payments, not defer them, but make your payments for the first 6 months of the purchase of that vehicle. The other thing I want to talk about, Ephraim, we haven't had a lot of time to talk about, is the $4,000 on anything for your trade-in. You know, just talk about some of the options out there that you could bring in to trade in and get $4,000 and talk about some of the cars you can drive away in.
Well, if you just have some stuff lying around your house you don't use anymore, I mean, we've had people trade in all kinds of random things, from lawnmowers to I think Sandy even took in a fish tank. It was an interesting
really
a fish tank. But even more so, a lot of people taking advantage of cars, right? And it doesn't have to run. It doesn't have to be nice. I mean, I took in a 2000 Saturn the other day with 278,000 miles on it.
I forgot about the Saturns.
$4,000
on it. $4,000 for it. You know, that's a car that hasn't been worth $4,000 in 10 years. I mean, so the value is definitely awesome towards helping you out. Maybe either get into a car and keep a cheaper payment or put yourself in a little better position off the bat to where you have availability to, you know, get some good value out of something you didn't have value out of before.
What do you do with a 2000 Saturn with 300,000 miles on? Is it target practice? Or
at that point, we might just take it out to the dunes and jump it.
And jump it? Oh, man, that's funny. So bring in whatever you got. Really, bring it in, and $4,000 on the price of that trade-in. Travis always talks about one guy was being a joker and brought in a one sock that had a hole in it. And he's like, we're doing this. $4,000, I want the sock. And you know how Travis is. He's like, fine, man, we'll honor it. Like, you know, like we're going to do what we got to do. But just understand $4,000 on anything. I love Travis's attitude about it. I know you guys are going to take care of our listeners regardless. Bring in something and take advantage of that $4,000 towards the price of your next vehicle. Also $2,500 back on the Kelley Blue Book. If you've got a truck, F-150, if you've got any type of pickup truck, a Titan, bring it in. And Ephraim, you're just going to give them $2,500 over the top of the Kelley Blue Book and make it really simple.
Yeah, it's for sure. It's easy to give you a little extra perceived value because a lot of people are rolling around out there with deficiency in their cars. Nothing's better than get $2,500 right off the top of that so you don't have to worry about that anymore. And in payments alone, that's $50 a month.
$2,500 right over the top of that Kelley Blue Book. That's take awesome. Advantage of that, too. So I know there's a lot to take in, but if you go into any one of the big green buildings and just go ask for the manager, and bring up any one of the things that we've talked about except for the 5 years of maintenance free. That's only here at the 90th South location.
That's correct.
I love what you like. Just here.
But you bring in any of those things that we've talked about, meet the manager and let them know. They'll take care of you. Ephraim, thanks.
Thanks so much, guys. Mm-hmm.
97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK.
Jay Drew, BYU beat writer for the Deseret News.
Handicap the bowl possibilities for the Cougars.
I think the New Year's Six is obviously a possibility. Looks like it would be the Cotton Bowl from what most projections have them. Obviously, they have to go undefeated. They'd have to beat Boise and San Diego State. I think that's a possibility. Right now, I would say 50% chance. I think ESPN's going to work with them. They've got a quarterback now that's drawing a lot of attention. They've got a fan base that travels if fans are allowed at bowl games. So I think there's a good chance that they could get a pretty decent bowl. Even if they drop one, they can get a pretty good bowl.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Did you miss the big topic of the day, the big interview? Or maybe you missed another of the guy's shenanigans? Recall. It's time to recall all the great and not so great moments of the show. Recall. It's Total Recall with Hans and Scotty on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Recall.
.97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Thanks, big thanks to everyone who's been helping us out on today's show. Ryan Fisher joined us earlier today. Also, you heard from Gary Anderson earlier today. If you missed any of those conversations, all you have to do is go to 1280thezone.com or just download any podcasting platform and search Hans and Scotty and you'll get the show. And all the segments directly on your phone or tablet or whatever device you're using. All right, time for Total Recall, looking back on moments of today's show, including a segment which we talked about one of the biggest unknowns for the Utah football team, that being Britton Covey.
The other guy that I'm excited to see is big-time upperclassman, feels like he's been there since Oral Hershiser was pitching for the Dodgers, is Britton Covey. I remember about this point in camp, of course I was going to say this time last year, but it's not this time last year. It's about this point in camp last
yeah.
year.
So which would have been like, you know, mid-August.
Mid-August.
Yeah.
I remember doing an interview with Britton and there was some real health concerns. And I remember looking at him thinking, he's just not, this doesn't feel right. And remember, he was missing practices and he was banged up. And it was kind of like, man, I don't know if this is right. And then I think he got out, tried to play a couple games, body didn't look right. Well, I'm assuming that Britton has had extra time to get that body right. He's had procedures. He's gone through all the proper training to get his body right. And I keep hearing the speculation. Obviously, he's listed as the starter in the return game, but I keep hearing the speculation that they're expecting him to be a showpiece in the return game.
I think that year off did him a world of good.
A world of good.
He hasn't been right in a while. I don't think, you know.
Since that Washington game.
Yeah. When they
2 years ago?
When they just teed off on him.
Or is that last year?
No, that was 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Yeah. I hope so. I certainly hope that's the case for him, and I hope that he's able to maintain a high level of play and be able to, be able.
Brian Thompson and Salmon Ennis, and you think about what those two do well. They can really stretch. They can really pull safety help away. And if you've got a run game that can keep those linebackers somewhat occupied, think about this. So Brant Keithy will do what he does from the tight end position. You're going to have to give him extra protection.
Yeah.
You're going to have to leave potential cover twos over the top because Brian Thompson is going to be a field stretcher and Solomon Ennis is going to be a problem. So what does that leave? That leaves gaps and holes for dig routes, slip screens, quick slants, drag routes, and those are the routes that Britton Covey excels
in. That's his game.
That's his game. So if you've got these, you know, I don't want to call them stars, but all Pac-12 players, Brian Thompson and Brant Keithy will be all Pac-12. You've got these Pac-12 players that are pulling that attention away. If Britton Covey's healthy, he really is going to be a problem. He's going to be an outlet. And I don't say that as if he's not a target. I'm not saying he's an outlet as a second option, but he's going to be a targeted outlet. And I think Britton stands to gain a lot this year and have a good year if he can stay healthy. And if his body and his feet are what we remember seeing before the injuries.
I guess that's a really good point, too. How much of what we remember watching Britton Covey in that first game against Michigan back in 2015 or whenever that year was, and how much of that still exists? Does he still have that same burst? I assume he does. But that's going to be a big question mark because sometimes when it goes, it just doesn't come back.
I can't answer that.
At that same level.
Yeah, I can't answer it. Until I see it, I can't answer it. Because I could see that he did not have that burst in the beginning parts of camp and in the beginning parts of the year. He did have a couple of nice punt returns, but, you know, eventually having to sit down and rest the body, I think that really emphasized what I thought was happening there, that he just wasn't ready. So I don't know what that body – I don't know what he's going to look like. But he's a guy I'm excited to see how they use him and how he looks as they step out on the field to start the season. But I can't answer what he's going to look like right now. I could tell you what coaches have thought of him through camp tomorrow, but I can't really answer what I think he's going to look like at the beginning parts of the year.
Okay, that's our conversation regarding Britton Covey and what he could mean to the University of Utah. To your point, we did a little research, and yes, he did play a couple games last year before deciding to shut it down.
Yeah, they shut him down after the USC game. He had 3 catches for 7 yards, and I can't remember if it was one big specific injury or if it was just the compounding pain of it all, and they ended up shutting him down. Scotty, I have had some conversations with people that are close to that organization that are saying that Britton is doing very good in camp, looks good in camp. The exact words that have come back to me are, he's a stud. Mm. So I'm hoping that we'll get to see that Britton Covey that was so flashy and really carried an offense. He really did. He carried an offense that year that he came in young, and it was all unexpected, and he did so many electric things to keep Utah in the running in a lot of those games. I want to see Britton back like that.
Also on Total Recall, I had a chance earlier today to chat with Gary Anderson, head coach at Utah State, and he talked about how difficult it is to face a team like Boise State.
Absolutely, you know, that's why they are who they are every year. They're locked and loaded. They do a nice job of recruiting to their plan. If you don't fit their plan, you're not going to be part of their program. I respect the heck out of all those things that comes from Boise, and you know that's why they've been so successful and year in and year out, and in this league they've been extremely successful year in and year out. And so you know you look at that, and just the model of consistency is much to be respected, at least from my own personal opinion, from what Boise has done. And you know, coaches change, coaches come and go from assistants to coordinators, but they seem to, you know, keep their same toughness. And you know you're in a fist fight when you go play Boise. That's the one thing, and I respect that also. It's not going to be a game that's just of, you know, there's going to be big plays, there's going to be this, there's going to be that that takes place. But at the end of the day, there's going to be people smacking each other and playing football. If you're going to beat them, you have to hang in there physically, you have to hang in there mentally, you have to be on edge, and you have to be very talented, and exactly what Boise's about. And works. They've got great players this year. I'm sure there's some players that are real good players we don't know about, and hopefully we have some real good players that, you know, that people don't know about us either, that can step up there and play much better than we did a year ago against Boise, and that will be the plan. And everybody in the league is chasing them and continually chasing those guys, and we're working like crazy, and we get an opportunity to play against them for 3 hours and change on Saturday to see how far we've come from a year ago, and we're excited about that opportunity. I'm sure they are too.
It's Gary Anderson talking about Boise State. By the way, I'll have another conversation with Coach Anderson later today on the Aggie Coaches Show. That'll be at 6 o'clock right here on the Zone Sports Network. So you get a little bit, we'll dig a little deeper. There's a lot of things going on with Utah State, and so we'll have a chance to chat with him. All right, one more on Total Recall, and we have not done this for a while, but we did have another edition of Role Play in which we thought, look, Colorado State had their game canceled against New Mexico because New Mexico is dealing with an outbreak and their governor won't let them travel. So Colorado State has nothing to do this weekend. BYU's playing Texas State. And we figured, hey, why doesn't Tom Homo get on the phone with Dr. Larry Tice of Texas State and say, sorry, it's not you, it's us, we're dumping you, and we want to play Colorado State this weekend. And we thought we'd kind of simulate what that conversation might sound like.
Hello, Dr. Tice.
Yes, this is Dr. Tice.
Hey, Tom Homo from BYU. How
you doing? Tom, we're so excited. We've got the charter all fueled up and ready to go. We're excited to come to Provo and play BYU. You guys have been off to a great start, and we're really excited to get up there and play some football.
Well, I'm terrified to have to make this call and alert you to the fact that we've had too many players come down with COVID, and we will not be able to play this weekend.
Oh, are you really? I mean, that's really awful to hear. I mean, I know you had the Army issue earlier in the year. And the fact that you're going to have another weekend when you will not be playing any college football of any kind, that's really got to be awful for your players.
Well, I wouldn't say any kind. I just would say playing against Texas State kind. We do have the numbers, however, to play against Colorado State this weekend.
Whoa. So
we will be.
Wait a minute. So you're not playing us, but you are playing Colorado State, and I don't understand.
Well, what you need to understand is we have enough players to play against Colorado State. We do not have enough to play against Texas State. Therefore, we will be playing against Colorado State this weekend. I don't even know. Like, Tom can't come straight out and be like, hey, he's got to come up with an excuse.
It's best just to rip that Band-Aid right off.
Tom.
Don't peel it slowly.
Look, you know, we only lost to South Alabama by 10, and we only lost to Troy by 20. Like, we're getting better. And we have a win against Louisiana Monroe earlier in the year. Like, this thing's turning around, and I think that we could provide your boys a really good test.
I'm going to come clean with you. It's not a numbers issue. It's that your team is terrible, and it will actually take away from our rankings by playing you. It will actually hurt our current national standing by being on the same field with you. Lloyd, you can't come clean. You got to make up something.
No, I thought that sounded great.
Tom, I'm just heartbroken here. I never thought you'd treat us like this.
Dr. Moreau, we are...
That's Dr. Tice.
Dr. Tice.
There's no Moreau. Island out here.
We are heartbroken as well. We are heartbroken as well, but we as a university have a unique opportunity in front of us to increase our national standing, and so we will be going to Colorado State to play at Colorado State.
Wait a minute. So we were going to come to Provo. You're leaving Provo in order not to play us.
Yes, Dr. Tice. We took a road game in an effort to avoid having to play you in a home game.
So. You know, Mr. Holmo, you've been straight with me, and I'll be completely accurate with you. I've seen our team play, and we are awful. And I am disgusted by my coach's performance and our team's performance. And frankly, if I was not the athletic director here, I wouldn't want to play us either. So why don't you go play Colorado State with our blessing, and we wish you nothing but the best going forward. And we hope that someday that I will have an athletic director job at a school far better than this dumpster fire I'm at now. And maybe then we can schedule a better game.
That got out of hand. You really got out of hand. That role-playing went bad quickly.
Okay. Yeah, my bad. I'd say that's accurate on how that conversation would go.
Lloyd said he's going to ship that off to a Texas State radio station. I don't know if that exists.
What radio station covers Texas State?
They probably don't have one.
And what part of Texas is Texas State?
That's exactly what I was Googling.
Or in.
Texas State. The only thing I remember about Texas State is that was the school that was on Unnecessary Roughness. It was Texas State. The Armadillos.
Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, it was Texas State.
Yeah. Texas State University is a public research university in San Marcos, Texas. It used to be Southwest Texas State. And they just shortened it all up to Texas State.
And they're not even the Armadillos.
It's what part of the country?
San Marcos.
Okay.
Texas.
Well, I think that conversation went well between the two.
I think so, too. I think that was fine.
That actually wasn't even fake. That was, we had a wiretap.
Yeah, no, that's, yeah. We were just reading the transcript. All right, take a final break. Wrap this thing up next. 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
Let's go!
The Big Show.
It's a big deal!
With Gordon Monson and Jake Scott.
All right, Gordon, I'm going to bring back an old bit, but I think it's fun. The confidence-o-meter. 0 to 1,000. What is your confidence this will be Zach Wilson's final season at BYU?
I put it at about 900.
Wow, okay. Strong by Gordon. He's on a bunch of draft boards. I've seen him as high as the second-best quarterback out there, which seems extraordinarily high, but that's the kind of attention he's getting.
There are some caveats there. One is, if he stays healthy, that could play a role in it. But if he keeps playing like he is right now, I don't see any reason for him to come back.
The Big Show, weekdays from 2 to 7 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Standing here beside you, want so much to give you this love in my heart that I'm feeling for you.
Let them see we're crazy. I don't care about that. Put your hand.
All right, wrapping up another edition of the show. Big thanks to everyone who helped us out on the program today. We'll be back with you tomorrow with your Cougar preview show. But today we've been hanging out here at Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this weekend too, Scotty. Utah State in action. Get to see Boise State. Get to see Houston and Navy. So BYU fans can get an idea of who the teams are that they beat. And so it's going to be a great weekend, plus the perfect weekend to come in and buy your new used car. Like, this is going to be great. And the prices out here, you can't beat it. You know, from one of my favorite things, one of my favorite slogans of the big green buildings is, why buy new when you could save thousands buying used? It's basic. It really should help people understand. Don't go to a new car lot and drive $10,000, $15,000 of depreciation off that lot.
That's really what's happening. Most people don't realize the amount that it costs you. $10,000 to $15,000 is not an underestimate. And realistically, to get something that has 10,000 miles on it and save that much money, why not?
Yeah,
that's so true. And I want people to understand, when you come to Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket, if you're looking for something that's a 2020 and it's got 5,000-6,000 miles on it, you've got it on your lots.
We've got 19s, we've got 20s, and they do. There's a ton of them out there. In fact, we got one on the lot right now that's got 800 miles on it.
So you've got a vehicle on the lot that somebody can have that new depreciation driven off, but just 800 miles on it.
That's correct.
And then you've got something that if it's a college kid or a new high school driver, you could come in and get something for $3,000-$4,000.
Well, that's one of the benefits that we have as a used car supermarket that doesn't get talked about enough is all the trade-ins we take in. I mean, as a collective group, we're selling 700 to 800 cars a month. And at that point, we're taking in 300 to 400 quality trade-ins for those inexpensive first-time buyer situations, those situations with not the best of credit. If you're looking for something between $3,000 and $10,000, we usually have anywhere between 50 and 80 options.
So remember this when you come into Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket. Remember this. You come to the 90th South location. Talk to Ephraim about the 5 years, all maintenance taken care of. Ephraim's going to hook you up with that. I want you to take advantage of the $4,000 on anything. Bring anything as a trade-in. Ephraim will get you $4,000 towards the price of your new vehicle. And don't forget $2,500 over Kelley Blue Book. So many reasons to come into Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket. Ephraim, it's been a great day, man. Thank you.
Well, thanks so much for coming out. We always enjoy having you guys. It helps me catch up on my sports.
Yeah.
So I know what's going on in the world of sports because I don't watch it as much as I probably should.
Are you going to say catch up on my sleep? Because sometimes you get more listeners. So.
I just don't know why you guys were making fun of my hold music when it was going on. Oh. I just heard your guys'.
I'll tell you what, man. It was romantic. I'm not going to lie. It's pretty romantic.
Yeah, I know.
Hey. And I think your Utes are going to be better than a lot of people think.
I'm excited to see them play. I've been itching.
It'll be good.
Hands and Scotty, this is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.